There are a couple of points that are really deeply concerning. The first is the ongoing, never changed, symbiotic relationship between Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. The Taliban didn't break with Al-Qaeda after they lost power in 2001. They didn't break with Al-Qaeda between 2001 and 2021, where Al-Qaeda really wouldn't be able to do anything of significance for them. And so they will unlikely break with Al-Qaeda now that they gained control of the country. Already, I'm sure you've seen this, there's this very infamous video of Osama bin Laden's security chief, Amin ul Haq, coming back on camera from Pakistan into Afghanistan, into Nangarhar province, waving to the crowd, letting himself be filmed, giving the thumbs up, and the Taliban clearing the road. That video alone tells you everything about the relationship. The real, really concerning point about that symbiotic relationship is that it's not the whole Taliban who have that relationship, but very much in particular, the Haqqani network, who famously is now also not only in charge of security in Kabul, but also heads the Interior Ministry, which is responsible for all internal security concerns in the country. So don't expect the Taliban to rein in Al-Qaeda, whatever Al-Qaeda wants to do. That's number one. Number two concern is that we don't really need to see the massive camp infrastructure in Afghanistan, again, that we saw prior to 2001, and then be concerned about these and for Al-Qaeda to be able to conduct terrorist attacks, because these terror camps were run by Al-Qaeda, but the overall majority of fighters, foreign fighters trained in these camps until 2001, were actually trained as soldiers for the Taliban. Only a very small fraction were actual Al-Qaeda perpetrators in those camps. And there were enough to do 9/11 and Cole and the US embassies and the attempt on LAX in December 2000. So we don't need those camps to have a massive international terror problem in our hands. You can do this in what was long called mobile training camps, a couple of guys learning explosives in some house somewhere in the village. So that's where we are right now. The Taliban in charge of Afghanistan, Haqqani in charge of the security in Afghanistan, and Al-Qaeda already being there. And there's a whole laundry list of Al-Qaeda affiliates who are already there, plus massive amount of chatters that we picked up from our monitoring in CEP of people discussing how to get to Afghanistan. And we can discuss, you know, what the difference will be with Iraq and Syria, but this is a real problem. So now comes the question, does Al-Qaeda want to do something like 9/11 again? Possibly, but not on that scale, because 9/11 had such a massive fallout that no terror group now, I think, is stupid enough to try something on that scale again. But Al-Qaeda never given up the ambition to do terror attacks, not just in the various regions where they are affiliates, but also abroad in the US, in Europe, two examples, in Europe, Charlie Hebdo in 2015, AQAP, and again in the US, AQAP from Yemen, the Al-Qaeda affiliate there, with the Pensacola attacks, which they prepared over several years. I think it was 5 years where they placed the perpetrator in the armed forces of Saudi Arabia until he got on the training course, and then he did the attack when he was in the United States. So it may take some time, but unfortunately, I have to agree with this assessment that it's going to be very, very hard to stop because we have no boots on the ground. We also lost a large part of the human intelligence network. Of course, there is an over-horizon capability to bomb anything that you want in that country, and that's undeniable, but you need to know where you need to bomb something. And then for that one, you need human sources, and you need good electronic monitoring, which also to a large extent at the moment needs to be rebuilt because it was based on the Afghan government infrastructure, which very obviously is no longer under control or accessible to Americans or Europeans. So all in all, it is a difficult situation. And having been in this for over 25 years, feels a little bit full circle to me.
What kind of infrastructure would they need?
The infrastructure that Al-Qaeda would need is very simple. People who know how to train other people. And they can do this in any place in Afghanistan. They don't need to build massive camps again. Or alternatively, they can use the camps that we built in Afghanistan because the Taliban don't use them. They're not in Kandahar airfield, they're not in Jalalabad airfield, and they definitely are not in Bagram right now because they don't need the infrastructure. They don't have an air force. They have taken over all the Afghan army's bases. They don't have a use for that. So why not invite your old Al-Qaeda pals to use those very nicely, very hardened facilities for their training activities? So that's the other alternative nightmare scenario. One little detail which really scares this bejesus out of me is that not only is Haqqani in charge of the Interior Ministry, the Deputy Interior Minister for Security, which in his purview has the National Passport Office, is also on Haqqani, i.e., again, as I said, Haqqani being the main conduit with Al-Qaeda, has now the ability to issue original, biometrically secured passports for any name, for any individual that they choose. This and terrorism travel is an absolute nightmare scenario because it will outmaneuver all the control systems that we in place right now. So, you know, this will be a very difficult situation to reverse back to a level where we're feeling comfortable with what's going on in Afghanistan.
That is indeed frightening. So that said, I would imagine that you're seeing a lot of people that have been running in terrorism circles lining up to go to Afghanistan now, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter. Now, the one saving grace is the geographic location of Afghanistan. So Syria and Iraq had the very bad misfortune that travel there via Turkey was very easy for everyone in the world because Turkey has this massive tourist infrastructure. The same cannot be said for Central Asia, Iran, or Pakistan. So it's still much more difficult to get there for foreigners. That's why all the chatter, right? If this would be again Syria, people know how to get there. Because you have to either go through Iran or you go to Pakistan. There is no real entry in the north. The Russians and the Central Asian states have really kept this border what airtight at this point and running one after the other of military exercises, which also shows you a little bit the amount of comfort the Russian side has with the Taliban after being quite happy that the international community and the US had to leave. So that will slow it down. But as a reminder, when the last time the terror infrastructure in 2001 was destroyed in Afghanistan, there were several thousand foreign fighters there. This is only slowing it down. It's not preventing them from entering. And I simply don't think we can trust the Taliban to say no to a Muslim from Germany or a convert from Italy who says, I want to live a Muslim life in the only emirate on the planet. They're not going to deny entry to this individual. And what that individual does then in Afghanistan with their friends, Al-Qaeda, is, as it used to be, not really a concern of the Taliban, as long as he doesn't travel from Afghanistan directly somewhere else and then, you know, just doesn't attack and it is a clear connection to Afghanistan. If he waits a couple of months, you will see the same statements that we saw after the embassy bombings in 99, after the US's call, after LAX, where they said, well, who knows whether it was Bin Laden? Who knows whether it was Al-Qaeda? We don't think it was the case. We will again get in this kind of weird discussion that they simply deny what cannot be.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project. JJ Green, WTOP News.